It's time for Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Gen Solar, the Fairbanks leader in sustainable, reliable energy solutions. And now, Building Alaska.
Welcome back to Building Alaska. My name is Jesse, and with me I have Josh Church. He's been on a show with us for the last several weekends, and it's just been amazing. We've talked about a number of things, very important things. We started off with energy. We talked about what's going on in the state. We talked about what's happening behind the scenes in the government, all these pushbacks. We even went and started talking about what's happening in a school, you know, in schools here in Alaska. It's very sad to know that the schools that we grew up with are nothing like what we see today. Yeah. And one thing, Josh, that you brought up last week that I really, it hit home for me, was that parents are not involved anymore. And I remember when I was a kid, I thought that the parents that would show up to like PTA, PTO meetings, whatever they were called, I'm like, man, this is so dumb. Like, don't they have anything better to do than being here? And it makes sense. Like, those people actually sacrifice, because that's a sacrifice. Moms don't have any downtime. Yeah. You know that. They don't have any downtime. Right. Kids are 24/7 job and they don't get paid enough for it. Right. But when they take that time out of their lives and they're like, you know what? I see a problem with my kid. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do what I believe is right. Show up to a place that I support because I'm letting my kid go there. Yeah. I have a choice. And be like, look, guys, my kid is doing great, but I'm starting to see a little bit of an issue. Tell me if I'm wrong, Josh. You are in business. You're in finances. If somebody notices a problem and they present that to you, how grateful are you knowing someone who saw something from a distance or from a different point of view, they're like, wait a minute. Hey, we're losing. There's a leak in the business and you weren't able to see it. But your employee, your business partner, your investor, whoever it is that's on your team, they're like, hey, look, I love this place. We're doing great, but I noticed something.
Yeah.
You're not going to turn that down. You're gonna work off of that, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with the school. Well, that's not what's happening with the school system. Is parents are not getting as involved as they used to.
Right.
And you see this big decline in that culture.
Right. Yeah. The parents aren't involved with the teachers and the administrative. They're not necessarily welcomed. So that's a huge problem. So the administration and the parent and the teachers need to be welcoming the teacher or the parents, excuse me. And the teachers need the input like you're talking about. They need that input and they should be welcoming it whether they are or not. But the other part of the problem is, are the parents like choosing to be proactive and get involved? And another part of it too is that if your dad shows up to a baseball game where you're playing and he's not coaching or helping coaching, but he's there, that's still cool, oh, yeah, right?
That does a lot.
It does a lot, right? So sometimes just being involved matters to the kids. They'll try harder, right? If they know their parents are paying attention and asking, how did school go today? What did you learn? So it's so critical for the kids that you're involved. But, you know, I kept thinking, as you were talking about the problems with the schools and how parents need to get involved, I kept kind of thinking about it can be healthy for the parents too. So I was on a committee, the finance committee of the city, and I would sit next to this sweet lady who whenever something funny would happen or I would say the wrong thing, she would punch me in the arm. But she's great. You know, after a while, I don't think I got bruises, but you know, but if you went out and you looked at her bumper stickers on her car versus, you know, my old car that used to have bumper stickers, you'd say these two are not going to get along. But we would sit there and have a great time. And I at different times I would look at her and think, did I just hear what I heard coming out of her? Because I could have said the same thing. We both cared about, you know, how do we make this town better? How do we grow it? How do we get more people moving in? How do we lower the cost for people? And so we were addressing things. And so sometimes when you get involved and you come in there with a little bit of an attitude of humility, you may find it's healthy for you mentally. You're not at war with these people. If you just drive down the street and I saw those bumper stickers, and I'm watching the news, I might think I'm at war with this person.
Yes.
But in reality, when we sit in that room, we're partners on working. We have the same goals. So get involved where you can. It is so much more, you know, it's cathartic for your society to be involved in working together rather than isolated, not involved, watching social media or TV and seeing all the highlighted differences. And I think this is kind of a tangent, if you will, but I think it's really crucial to that. It's not only good for your mental health to get involved, and it's not only necessary for the kids to see their parents involved, but there's an undergirding, like, I would say, a spiritual factor to this.
I see what you're saying. Yep.
I think you get blessed when you're doing the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll give you just two like quotes to kind of tie in this what might feel like a left field turn here. So Benjamin Franklin was asked what form of government after the Constitutional Convention that he's given us. And his answer is a republic if you can keep it. And we are always fighting. You cannot just rest on the fact that, well, my dad built a good business and I inherited the business, so therefore it's going to be fine. No, you have to do the work every day, whether that's, oh, we had a good school 20 years ago, it'll be fine now. No, you have to show up every day and make sure you're doing the work. And John Adams once said, this is the second quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other kind." And so that's really where the spiritual comes in, is we have been given a huge blessing in America and in Western civilization. We live some of the most wealthiest lives the world has ever seen. You know, I took a hot shower the other day, on-demand hot water. Kings would have been so lucky back in the day. I can snap my fingers, right, and the lights come on. So we're so blessed. We've been given this republic if we can keep it. But it's built for a system of people who are trying to do the right thing, who are moral, and they are trying to follow a code of ethics. If you strip that away and you don't follow a code of ethics and you're not moral, you're not trying to do the right thing, the whole system starts to fall apart, right? And so you need people involved in your schools. You need people involved in every form of our society who are trying to follow, right and wrong. And they're trying to be involved. And when you drift from that and you let people get involved who are divisive, who are not trying to grow, that's when society starts to crumble, right?
Exactly.
And we see this a lot nowadays. And so you can't let a small number of divisive actors get involved and derail the agenda. Schools should be about learning, reading, and math, not political, ideologies, right? And so I don't know, that's a little bit of a wide turn from the specifics. It's a little more philosophical, but I think it's crucial for people to live their values, and the culture that you create in your home and in your community and your schools will matter more than almost anything else. So at a school I was at the other day, you know, there was some kids were leaning forward. They were engaged. They were listening. They were asking questions. They were learning. And other kids were not paying any attention. They didn't care at all. Yeah. So you can have a good speaker or a terrible speaker, but if you're not engaged, mm-hmm. if your culture hasn't set an example, right, of discipline and paying attention and being respectful, you're going to have some bad educational outcomes, right?
Very
and
true.
So that wasn't a problem of curriculum. That was a problem of the home culture and the school culture, mm-hmm. where a third of the class felt it was okay when the teacher's talking to look the other way, to not be paying attention, to be, you know, sleeping on their hands or whatever. And so values and culture, that's what's going to set your society apart. And I really believe that you can't preach that enough, that it's not just about the metrics and the money for schools. It's about, are you putting God first? Are you setting the example? Are you showing up and doing? And none of us are perfect. We've all got problems. But if if you're absent, and that void will be filled by something else, right? Those kids will find something else to do with their time, and there's nothing worse than a society that is drifting away from morality, right? And we just, you see this in places like, you know, Portland, you see this in Seattle, you see this around the country where you have built beautiful cities and then they fall apart, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't let that happen here, right? We're on the, I feel like Alaska is sort of in a pivotal moment, and we have the chance to turn things around, but if we don't get involved, we could become, you know, we could hit a point where there's sort of no return. And I mean, look at Detroit. You can't come back from that almost.
I have a friend who actually, he grew up there. He's actually still there right now. It's actually a lot harder to get a hold of him because the way he grew up on the streets, and that's where, that's all he knows now.
Yeah.
And so when I was in the rehab center in 2014, he was with me. He did great, but he ended up going right back. Mm-hmm. And that place is trash. There's nothing green out there. There's nothing good out there. It's really bad. But yeah, you're right. It did go down. And if I may, I don't mean to interrupt you, but the morale thing, that's huge. I have a friend, and this, what I'm about to share is going to, it should help everybody that's listening from whatever background you're from, should help you understand how important it is to be like-minded. Mm-hmm. We don't always have to believe the same thing, but when it comes to working together, that's what matters.
You need a common purpose.
You got to have it. You look at any building, any big structure that houses families, businesses, products, or services. If that foundation is not 100% the same, for example, let's say that you do, the whole foundation is 100% concrete. You got rebar, you got, you know, your support system. But imagine if every, you know, let's say a quarter of that, you're like, you know what? I don't want to do concrete. Let's try something different. The structural support is going to get sabotaged because you cannot bind those two together and expect the same results.
Yeah.
So over time, especially if you got permafrost, what's going to happen? You're going to, the building over time, you're going to see a change. And sometimes that repair is not worth the cost.
Right. Right.
Right. We look at that everywhere else. This goes for homes, for families, for relationships, businesses, your religion. It goes with everything. This is across the board. And this comes down to, it's like the golden rule, right? So in, you look at this, every single religion, every belief has their own way of seeing it. For example, in the Bible, Luke 6:31 says, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Islam literally says the exact same thing in their own way. None of you truly believes until one loves for his brother for what he loves for himself. Judaism says, what is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. That is the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. Hinduism, one should never do to another what regards as injurious to oneself. Buddhism, hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. And it just keeps going. There's so many. So we all have built inside of us. We should have built inside of us. And we all do. Sometimes we suppress it for whatever reasons. But when you stop giving all these excuses, well, it's the way I grew up. Look, life is not fair.
Yep.
Life is what you make it. I grew up, Josh, you know a little bit about my past.
Yeah.
I should not be here today. I should be dead. I should be, you know, my first overdose, I should have been gone a long time ago. But I surrendered all of that. So I don't like to say that I've been clean since 2014. I say I've been freed because I don't have something that I feel like I need to go back to, because the foundation that I have, the mental foundation, is something that I worked hard to build.
Right.
And so when you bring that mentality, when you bring those morals into a school system, what do you think that's going to look like for the future for those kids? Those kids are going to be better than their parents. And a true father is going to be a father who's going to set up their boys and their girls to be better and to have more and to succeed way more, because we realize time is so precious. There's nothing more expensive. There's nothing more valuable in this world than time. Once that's gone, there's nothing you can do to get it back. The rich and the poor have the same thing in common, that they have 24 hours in one day.
Yep.
You do what you can with it, and you do the best that you possibly can. You might not have a degree. You might not have the best voice. You might not have the best looks. But guess what? If you got a passion and you got something that you want to help and contribute to, don't be afraid. Go ahead and go do it. Guys, we're going to cut to a short break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Building Alaska will be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks is raving about the technology available for your home from the folks at Gen Solar. From the Tesla solar technology and their amazing sleek power walls, to the always dependable Generac system and EcoFlow battery systems, all for your home or business, all designed to keep your home safe from power outages while feeding power back to the grid and saving you time and money. See for yourself and get all of your questions answered in their amazing new showroom, 29 College Road, right across from the Bentley Mall. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Gen Solar.
Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, kfarradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week. Every hour, every day. Plus 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to kfarradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station. Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back to Building Alaska. Again, this is Jesse on KFAR Radio. And with me, I have Josh Church. We were just talking about how important it is to understand that, you know, if we're not working together, we're gonna be working against each other. If you got a kid that's going to the school, and there's another kid that, you know, their parents probably live down the road from the other parents. You have two different families, possibly two different backgrounds, two different beliefs, two different everything. But both of them are putting so much hope and faith that this school is going to raise their kids right. Mm-hmm. If they start seeing that things are going the opposite way, don't you think it would be the right thing to step up and ask questions like, hey, why is my kid coming home with this kind of attitude? Mm-hmm. Why is my kid not growing? Why is my kid not, you know, growing? There's a problem. So it's important that we work together at those, you know, parent-teacher conferences, at those PTA meetings. That's where you bring up these concerns. And like you said, that was a perfect example, that one lady that was just constantly just nudging you for every little thing that she probably didn't like. But imagine you guys have two different backgrounds, yet you were both working towards the same thing. Yeah. That's every business. Okay, for example, Costco. Costco is huge. If you look at the way that they've grown, their work, their code of ethics, they make you memorize that before you even sign up. So when you go through the training process, they want you to understand that you're here to give the customer, the member, the best possible service, the best possible product or services at the best price possible. And all of that doesn't mean anything until you bring that environment to that building. So when you have people coming in and out, they're either going to love that place or hate it. Either way, that building will always stand strong. They will always increase. Look at their stock markets. They've grown so steadily. And I think they're better than Sam's Club. Sam's Club did a horrible job at their structure. But Costco is where they're at because they were steady. And they made sure that, hey, if you're going to get on our team, I want you to understand that we want to give everybody the best that they possibly can. And we need you to believe this with us.
I think you couldn't be more right. So I've asked every time I go to Costco, I try and ask one of the employees, do you like your job? Did you work at Sam's Club before? I have never talked to anyone who said they didn't like working at Costco. I've never talked to anyone who worked at Sam's Club before who didn't say that it was better afterwards. Costco is killing it with treating their employees right, having the right culture, and that's why their business is succeeding. And so There's in Florida, when I go visit in-laws, there's a Publix markets down there, and it's employee owned. And I'm a little bit sad because as an investor guy, like, I would be buying into that company, but I can't. But it's because the employees own it and they take value, they take care in it.
Yeah.
It's one of the cleanest, best run grocery stores that I've really ever been to. And so I think that concept is so critical. Like, get involved, take ownership in your community, try and create structures where you encourage that ownership, right? Try and remove the – one of the biggest problems with bureaucracies, and this is why our founding fathers wanted a limited government, is the further the decision gets from who it affects, the more it turns into, you know, prattle, or it's just theoretical, right? If I have to go run, I feel the decision from that, right? If I have to work a job, I feel the decision. So I will be very careful how I spend my money or what I do with my time, right? Because I feel the decision. But, I was in special operations. We were in Africa years ago. And the unit that we were training another special forces group over there. And so we were supposed to do this shooting range. And they came to us and they said, hey, we're out of our fuel budget for the month, so we can't drive over there with the trucks. And so they wanted us to donate the money to them. And we said, well, we don't have the money to do that. We're not going to donate the money for your fuel budget. Again, goes to the corruption and getting involved. There was somebody who was stealing, you know, from their vehicles inside their unit, using it for personal reasons. So they were short, you know, they didn't have enough, right? So there was a corruption issue. But then the attitude, this goes to the bureaucratic and why you need to be involved and why the decisions need to be made by you in your local community. They wanted the outsider, the big Westerners, the America with all its money, to fund their training to get. And we said, well, no, how about this? We'll still go do the training, but we'll just run with you. It's not that many miles. So we'll turn it into a run and then we'll do a shoot. And the response, eventually they said yes, but the initial response was, well, if we wear out our boots on the run, will you buy us new boots? I said, no. And so the problem is, when you get used to the federal government will pay for this, they'll make the decision of what our curriculum is or whatever, or the state will, or the state education board is going to decide this. If you remove those decisions too far from you, you start to get this complacent attitude. Mm-hmm. And then you say, well, you know, we should be able to have a school that's twice as big, or we need a more, there's almost nothing you would turn down if the money's being paid by somebody else, right?
True, true.
But you don't, those hard decisions that you need for efficiency, they need to be felt by. That's why entrepreneurs do so well, is because they feel the pain or the success of good decisions, right? I mean, this seems like totally far afield, but we are one of the wealthiest countries in the world. We spend more than the top 10 or 15 countries combined on our military defense, and yet we're not the top in shipbuilding. Why is that the case? Well, because of the culture we talked about with the, you know, risk aversion, you know, so we don't build factories anymore, we don't do those. That's part of it. But another part of it is this sort of somebody else is paying for it, good idea factory. An entrepreneur or somebody at the local level making the decision for their school board, that they're making their own decisions, they will sometimes make the hard choice. Hey, we can't afford this, right? So they'll make the program leaner or whatever. But our ships take decades to build a new ship in America because we're always, well, let's do this one more thing. Let's add this extra missile defense system to it. Let's add this extra. And they just keep the scope of the project grows. And if you look, I was listening to a really great podcast recently. I should find and share with you guys. But they were talking about the difference between Pixar and Apple versus some other companies that had failed. And one of the huge things they outlined is that the leaders of those companies were very, very good about saying no and saying that design is good enough. So Pixar had this thing, they called it the penny shading problem. And the idea is, if there's a penny on the desk in the background somewhere, an artist, a director might want to get the shading on that penny just right to, you know, they don't want that detail to be wrong.
Oh, okay.
but the 99% of the audience will never notice that detail. Mm-hmm. And so you spend a week on production making sure all these details that really don't matter to telling the story are right, and you have cost overruns and you have a problem in your budget and you don't end up producing a good picture, right? And this is sort of the problem with our schools, and why getting involved in local direct decisions made at the smallest level matter, because if you're funding it and you're making the decisions and you're seeing the results, you don't get stuck on, we have to make that penny shaded just right. We have to make sure, you know what? It'd be nice to have an extra rubber track or whatever it is around the gym. You know, I remember in the budget crisis years ago when Dunleavy had proposed cuts to the university, I was at UAF at the time, and while they were screaming about these horrible cuts, they repaved the gym floor, the track, with a rubber asphalt, so it was nicer to run on. Well, that was really nice, and I enjoyed running on it before, and I really enjoyed it afterwards. But that extra, I don't know what the project cost, $500,000, $1 million, in my mind, that's a nice to have. If you really are in a big budget crisis, that's probably not the time to do that. But if it's somebody else's money,
they don't care. They're going to do it.
Why not? You know?
Yeah.
So they were literally debating and talking about with the legislature at that time years ago that they might have to lay off teachers. And yet they were, you know, but the answer is bureaucratic. Well, it's a different pot of money, this or that. And so that's why we need a reform and make sure these decisions are made by people that they affect, you know, and they need to be funded locally too. So that way, the decisions are made by the people that they affect, right? And that's the only way you're going to get more efficient government. The only way you're going to get a better society and culture is to get people involved and make the people who are paying for it make the decisions. Make those decisions be closest to home as possible.
You know, what you were talking about earlier was, we only got a couple minutes, but I'm going to try to make this as quick as I can. You're talking about having a hard conversation, right?
Yeah.
If you see something, you got to say something. And not many people want to have that conversation. You know, like, man, I see this probably the worst at Walmart. Walmart's the worst. You see a kid throwing a tantrum, cussing out his mother, breaking things, ripping things.
Yeah,
it's like, man, hopefully I'm not going to get in trouble here, but sometimes I just want to grab that kid and tell him to, you know, shut his mouth. But if you think about this, it starts with the parents.
Yeah.
It starts with the parents, right? It's a cultural thing. But not many people want to have that discussion like, hey, yes, your kid is out of line. Yes. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to see and feel what it feels like to have a finger pointed at you and say that you're doing wrong. You're doing parenting wrong. You're doing, you know, your job wrong. You're doing all these right. things. But for example, in a business, how detrimental is it if there's a leak in a business and somebody knows about it and says nothing?
Oh.
Like, well, I'm still employed. I still got Huge. A job. I'm getting paid the same exact way. But yet this person is stealing from the company.
Yep.
And they're constantly stealing. And then the boss is freaking out. They're like, man, where in the world is this leak at? We were supposed to give out bonuses. We were supposed to upgrade our equipment. We were supposed to expand. We were supposed to do this. We were supposed to be doing that. But people don't want to have that conversation because it's ratting them out. It's making them feel uncomfortable. It's like, man, we gotten way too soft. And people, I think people are starting to have a skewed understanding of where that line is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where people think it's tattletelling versus holding people accountable. If you have the same vision as your boss, that business is only going to go through the roof,
right?
Because you're going to fight for the same thing. But having that conversation is really uncomfortable.
Well, and vendors and clients and stuff, sometimes it's easier to just leave when you had a bad experience then
exactly.
give them the opportunity to learn or correct it. And it's rare, but I value it if I have someone who actually comes to me and says, I didn't like the way you did this, or here's a problem I had, because that's an opportunity for me to say, oh, I made a mistake. Let me correct it so I don't repeat it again. Or, well, that's actually not the full picture. Here's part of what happened. And so we absolutely need to have the courage to give people, like, have the respect to give people the opportunity to grow, right?
Exactly. Josh, I'm sorry to cut you off. Guys, we are at the end of our show. I really appreciate your time, Josh. This was such an awesome episode. I hope you guys were blessed and you learned a lot. Guys, stay tuned in, because next week we got another show for you. We'll see you guys then.
You've been listening to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. Building Alaska is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.